turn me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. Just going to give you a little simple thought tonight. Maybe it would help us out in our Christian life. I realized for the past several weeks we've had a lot of visitors to come, and I appreciate visitors coming. Appreciate seeing them in the church house. This morning we had first-time visitors, and that's because we went out to visit them, so they felt obligated to come visit us. And this is just a little Bible truth. I'm going to just give it to you tonight. And it's helped me out tremendously in my life. I believe it will help our church out if we grasp a hold to this. And a lot of this stuff you're doing already, you might not have any idea why you're doing it, but we're doing it anyway. And we'll see here in the Word of God. Let's begin reading in John chapter 1. We'll just read the first two verses together. And I'll try to bring a thought out to you. It says here in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Notice these two words, beginning. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. I'm going to try to help you tonight by preaching this little simple thought. Everything should begin with God. Everything should begin with God. You don't have to turn there, but let me read this verse to you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands." We know the verse in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Before the earth was ever formed, before the heavens was in the sky, God always was. God never had a beginning, but in the beginning, God was there to form the heavens and the earth. Everything we should do, everything that consists of our Christian lives, of our church lives, of our home lives, should begin with God. God should precede everything in our lives. My friend, just to take, for instance, on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, we come to a church house and we sing a congregational song. That congregational song doesn't start the service. It gets us ready and prepared for the service. That first congregational song lets us know that church is beginning. It's time to find a good place to sit, find a good place to be still, and have our hearts in tune with the Lord. And then after we sing that first congregational song, we pray. I believe everything should be preceded by prayer. We pray and ask God's blessings upon the service. We do things in our church not just to fill in spaces, but do them in a certain way. And I'm going to try to preach tonight. Everything should begin with God. It all begins with God, my friend. The world began with God. Our lives begin with God. The Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into man's nostril. Adam became a living soul because of God. My friend, we're alive here today because of God. This world consists today because of God. You come out of your house tonight and look up at the moon and see the stars. It's all because of God. As you drive to work tomorrow, you see the big old tall pine trees. It looks like they're clapping their hands. It's because of God. You have a chance to smell the wildflowers tomorrow. Smell your roses or any kind of flower you have at the house tomorrow. It's all because of God. Everything we should do in this church, in our lives, should begin with God. I'm just going to point out about six things tonight that should begin with God. I believe the first thing that should begin with God is salvation. Salvation begins with God. We know this verse tonight, John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Because God loved the world, he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, that we could have everlasting life. My friend, I've heard a lot of people do this. We don't have a tendency to do this, and Lord willing, we're not going to do this. But as you approach somebody about salvation, my friend, I heard a lot of preachers, a lot of Sunday school teachers, a lot of so-called Christians. They say the first thing you have to do is get this out of your house and get that out of your house. They said the first thing you have to do is get the beer out of the refrigerator, then God will save you. They said the first thing you got to do is quit your cursing, and God will save you. They said the first thing you got to do is get married, and God will save you. But I know a woman at the well in John chapter 4. She was shacked up with a man and got saved and went back and told the men all things that Christ has told her, my friend. I know a thief on the cross of Calvary. I know a thief that was on the cross beside Calvary. And my friend, he got saved that day and couldn't make restitution, couldn't go back. back and do anything that he done wrong in his past. I know Zacchaeus got right with God, and then he come down out of a sycamore tree, got right with God, and then gave back fourfold and made restitution to those who he done wrong, my friend. We've got a lot of preachers. They say the first thing you got to do is get yourself right, then you can get saved. I believe it's the totally opposite. I believe you get saved first, and God helps you get your life right. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he took the initiative. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How? Hey, salvation begins with God. It's not turning from the world to God. It's turning to God from the world. It's trusting in God and God alone for salvation, my friend. Salvation begins with God. I don't want to never hear of any of us going to a house, going to a project housing, or going to somebody's house or somebody's home, or talking to somebody and say the first thing you got to do is stop this and stop that and come to church to get saved. My wife was talking to a young girl this morning just on the very, very edge of salvation, very edge of salvation. I believe if the devil didn't interfere and my wife had just a few more minutes, that young girl would have got saved. I really honestly believe that. You know what my wife told her? As she was leaving out, getting back on the church van, hey, glory to God, she's a bus kid. Hey, she's coming to church on the bus. My wife said, you don't have to get saved in the church house. You don't have to get saved in front of a preacher. Hey, thank God, if you trust in God and God alone for salvation, you can get saved anywhere and everywhere, my friend. Hey, salvation begins with God. It begins with God. I believe soul winning begins with God. Look here, if you would, in Matthew chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says. Just a few things that begins with God tonight. I was going to save this for Wednesday evening Bible study, but God impressed upon my heart to go ahead and give it to you tonight. Look here, Matthew chapter 4. Not only does salvation begins with God, but soul winning begins with God. In Matthew chapter 4, notice what the scripture says. Now, Matthew chapter 4. Look here, if you would, in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they was fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said here in verse 19. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The first thing, my friend, it always begins with God. As we follow Christ, he makes us fishers of men. He didn't say, go out and fish for men, and follow me. He said, the first thing you've got to do is follow me. The first thing we've got to do to be fishers of men is not take some three-point course. We don't have to, my friend, take some new convert course to be a soul winner. All we have to do is follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes us a fishers of men. He makes us a soul winner. You know how, my friend, you know how a lady becomes a better cook? By hanging around a good cook. You know how a young boy becomes a good hunter? By hanging around a great hunter. You know, as we go in the woods, I don't know a whole lot about hunting, but I've learned a few things as I grew up, and my boys, now they come to an age where they want to go hunting, and they know absolutely nothing. We go in the woods, and I say, Justin, that's a squirrel's nest right there. I say, Justin, that's a rabbit hole right there. I say, Justin, that's a rattlesnake right there. I say, Justin, that's a wasp nest right there. You know how they become a good hunter? By following after someone that's done it for a while. You know how a lady becomes a good cook? By watching someone that's done it. Every one of you that's a good cook tonight, you can tell me tonight that mama showed me a secret recipe, that mama showed me something extra to put in the dish, to put in the pot, to make it taste so much better. Tonight, Brother David can make a good chicken bog. He make a good chicken bog. There's a secret ingredient that he puts in the chicken bog to make it better than a normal chicken bog would be. If you give him $100, he'll tell you what it is. But he's told me what it is. Don't ask me, I done forgot it. I don't know what it is. But he's told me what it is. You know what Christ said? Christ said, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. Christ said, the only way you could do what needs to be done is if you'll follow me. I remember when I first got saved, I come to this church. Boy, I didn't know a thing. I didn't know how to tie a necktie. I didn't know how to shine shoes. I didn't know how to read a Bible. I didn't know one book from the next book. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to do anything. I remember when I first got to church, I asked everybody all kind of questions. I remember asking Brother Steve, how do you tithe? He told me how he tithed, and I tried to do that. I remember talking to other people. I remember talking to Al Luna about going soul winning. I remember my friend just talking to different Christians, different people in church on how to do this and how to do that. I remember Preacher Larry showed me how to tie a necktie. I remember my friend others, he showed me how to dress right and how to pick out a suit. I didn't know what size shirt to wear. I didn't know what tie to match with what and all kinds of things I just didn't know. But I learned them as I followed Jesus. I didn't have to take some three-point course. I didn't have to take a new convert course. I didn't have to become part of some kind of extracurricular activity to learn how to be a Christian. All you have to do is follow after Jesus. Got a young man here tonight, older man here tonight. He's not been in church too much. He don't know a whole lot. But all he has to do is follow after Jesus to be the Christian God saved him to be. I liked it this morning. I'm not going to pick on him, but I want to use him as an illustration. He is here this morning. And I said, how many people's lost and needs to be saved? And I said, raise your hand. And some people raised their hand. And I said, if you'd like for me to come to your house and tell you about Jesus Christ, raise your hand. And this young man raised his hand. I said, what in the world? He got saved 2 or 3 weeks ago. Why is he raising his hand this morning? He come up to me at the church service and he said, preacher, I believe I raised my hand at the wrong time. He said, I don't need to be saved again, but I need to be baptized. Who in the world told him he needed to be baptized? Who in the world told him, my friend? I didn't tell him he needed to be baptized. I've not preached on baptism, but he's following after Jesus. And Jesus puts it in his heart to do the very next thing, to take the very next step. Hey, glory to God, hallelujah. Now, this coming Sunday, but next Sunday, we have another baptism service. Hey, we get another one under. We get another one out of the water so they can demonstrate a newness of life in them. Hey, everything we do in our Christian life begins with God. Salvation begins with God. Soul winning begins with God. God says, Christ says, follow me, and then I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, then I'll make you fishers of men. Service, our serving the Lord, begins with God. Look here, if you would, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. I want you to turn these Bible passages for me so you can see what's going on in the Word of God. Everything we do begins with God. Everything we do should begin with God. Salvation begins with God. We'll never tell a person to join this church and they'll be all right. We'll never tell a person to straighten up and they'll be all right. We always tell a man or tell a lady, if you come to Jesus and let Jesus save you, you'll be all right then. Soul winning begins with God, and our service to God begins with God. Look here in Mark chapter 3. In verse 13, the Bible says, he goeth unto a mountain and calleth unto him who he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Here's the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ went up to a mountain. He calleth unto them who he would. The Bible says he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Before they could serve God, they had to be with God. Before they can go out and preach for the Lord, they had to spend some time with God. Before we can go out and do one thing for God, we've got to realize it begins with God and we have to spend time with God. We've got to get on our faces before God and search God and know God before we can go out and serve God. That's why we have a song to get us ready for the preaching of God's word. We have a song in our church to get our souls to get ready, to get still, and to get quiet. And that very first song we sing, it should tell our hearts, hey, the service is beginning, and God's going to meet with us. It's time to be quiet. It's time to listen. It's time to get still. I know we have some young girls and young boys in our church, maybe like them two young girls this morning, they're just walking around. But we were singing a song, and one of them thought there's a little ballerina and started spinning around a circle like a little princess. That stuff really don't bother me. Hope it don't bother you. I would love for them to sit in their seat and be still and be quiet and listen, but I'm glad they're here. She could be in a dope house tonight spinning around in circles. She could be on a street corner somewhere next Sunday spinning around in circles, but yet she's in God's house. And my friend, they'll grow up and they'll learn. They'll learn. You remember how Reagan was? Old Reagan's everywhere. Reagan done everything but hung from the chandeliers. And that's because we don't have one in here. But Reagan grew up in church. Reagan's learned. Reagan's singing in the choir. Reagan's helping out in Sunday school class. Reagan's helping out soul winning. Reagan's grown up in the church. Hey, these children will learn, but they're going to learn from watching us. They're going to learn from watching us that, hey, when it's time for church, that we're going to be quiet and listen to the man of God as he preaches, and we're going to let God speak to our hearts, and we're going to give the Holy Spirit a chance to operate a spiritual operation in our lives. Everything we do begins with God. Here Christ says, you come to me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, before you can go out and serve me, you've got to spend time with me. Before our Sunday school teachers can teach the lesson the way God wants them to teach it, they've got to spend time with God. Before I can preach the messages, I've got tons of messages. I've probably got 10 or 12 messages in my desk right now that I could pull out and preach. But until I spend time with God and God tells me that's the right one, it won't do you one bit of good. We've got to spend time with God, folks. When we go out soul winning, before we go soul winning, we pray. As we go soul winning, we pray. As we get through soul winning, we pray. When we come to church, we pray. Because we realize this is not depending upon us, it's depending upon God. Preacher Larry's gave me some great advice. And one advice that he gave me, probably stick with me till the day I die, is this that I'm going to share with you right now. He says, all during the week before I preach, he said, all during the week you pray, you study, like it all depends upon you. And then he says, as soon as you get behind the pulpit, you forget that nonsense and realize it all depends upon God. Now, I should do my part by praying, by studying, by preparing. But as I get behind the pulpit, I realize it's not my eloquent speech. It's not how much I know. It's not what I can accomplish, but it's what God can accomplish through a prepared vessel as I yield myself to Him. Well, everything begins with God, folks. The way you teach should begin with God. The way we get in the choir should begin with God. We should pray. God, cleanse me of any sin. Cleanse me of any iniquity. Cleanse me of any shame that's within me. And help me to stand in the choir and sing out for thy glory and thy praise. Everything should begin with God. Our service should begin with God here. Christ called the 12 unto him and said, folks, spend some time with me, and then I'm going to send you forth to preach. Even our prayer life should begin with God. Look here, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Notice what the Bible says, if you will. Our salvation begins with God. Soul winning begins with God. Service begins with God. Now prayer begins with God. In Matthew chapter 6, notice what it says here. Christ has given us not the way to pray, but instructions to pray. It says here in verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice his next two sentences in verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. First here, Jesus Christ said, when you pray, you honor, reverence the Father as a holy Father, as our Father. Then in verse 12, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then in verse 11, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. And in verse 12, the Bible says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Bible says in verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. So here the Bible says in verse 11, give us. And in verse 12, forgive us. And in verse 13, lead us and deliver us. But before we ask God one thing, we have to begin with God. Here he said, before you ask God for one thing, say, Father, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What do you mean by that, Preacher Scott? When you pray, it should begin with God. When I pray, I should ask God to help me to want what God wants for my own life. I've got silly requests. I've got silly dreams. I've got silly desires. But I should pray and ask God what he wants for my life. And as I pray in the will of God, he'll put in my heart what he wants me to have. And I'll pray for what God wants me to have. I'll pray for what God wants me to have. God wants me to have it, so God will give it to me because I'm praying in the will of God. I'm telling us, my friend, we need to pray, and it all begins with God. I remember years ago, I prayed. I didn't know my wife prayed, but I prayed to go to Mexico. Just having some rough times, and years and years ago, prayed and asked God to send us to Mexico. I didn't know one thing about Spanish. I didn't know how to speak one Spanish word. Couldn't read the Spanish Bible, but yet we prayed a silly prayer. That didn't begin with God. I can tell you 4 or 5 years ago, we prayed and asked God to move us to Tennessee. My wife was working at Walmart. She worked on it and almost got her job transferred from Marion to Powell, Tennessee. I remember going to Mom and David, talking to them and saying, we don't know if this is the will of God, but we think we're going to move to Tennessee. I said, you'll be able to see your grandchildren once or twice a year, but that's maybe about it. I remember she said, if that's what God wants, then we have to accept it. We prayed, but we wasn't searching God's will. We was wanting what we wanted. When we pray, we have to pray in God's will. We have to begin with God. What does God want for our lives? Does God want you to be a millionaire? If he does, I'll be happy with you. I'll shout the blessings of God with you. But I'm going to be honest with you. Some of us couldn't handle $1 million. Some of us couldn't handle being a millionaire. Some of us couldn't handle. You say, well, preacher, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do the other. Hey, if God can't trust you with a dollar, he's not going to trust you with a million of them. If you're not going to be faithful to God with five, he's not going to be faithful to you with a million. But we should all begin with God. Prayer should begin with God. And faith begins with God. Look here, if you would, Romans chapter 10. Just a few things tonight that's going to lead up to one big thing. Romans chapter 10. Prayer, when we pray, we begin with God. Faith begins with God. Look here, if you would, Romans chapter 10. We'll look at verse 17. Everything we do should begin with God. Our lives begin with God. Faith begins with God. It says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you reverse that, the Bible says, well, let's go through it one more time. So then faith cometh by hearing. So how do you get faith? By hearing. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. So how does our faith increase? By hearing. But hearing what? Hearing the word of God. So as God takes his word and sends it forth, we hear God's word, it penetrates our heart, it sinks into our minds, and it gives us more faith. Hey, God gives his word to give us faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our Christian life begins with God. The way I believe, certain things I believe, begins with God. I don't believe a certain way because of Preacher Larry. I love Preacher Larry to death. I look at him as a father. I read a verse the other day in the Bible. I've read it so many times, but it's never clicked like that, like it's clicked the other day. In fact, I stopped my Bible reading. I said, honey, listen to this verse. And I told this verse to her, and I said, what does it sound like? She said, it sounds like you and Preacher Larry. It sounds like you and Preacher Larry. It sounds just like you and Preacher Larry. Preacher Larry probably listened to this CD. I love him as a father. As a spiritual father, he's helped me in my Christian life. But I don't have convictions and standards in my life because of him. I don't have convictions and standards in my life because of you. I don't preach the way I preach because you pay me a salary. I don't preach the way I preach to impress anybody. Hey, I preach the way I preach, and I live the way I live. I have my standards and my convictions because I've spent time with God, and God's given me faith by the word of God. It'd be good if all of us get a hold to the Bible and say, hey, I'm going to live according to the word of God and not some man-centered law, not some man-centered ambition, not some man-centered fear. I'm going to live my life according to the Bible because I spent time in my Bible and my faith begins with God. If your faith begins with God, no matter what another church down the road is doing, it's not going to waver you one bit. There's a lot of independent Baptist church. Hey, there's a lot of independent Baptist churches. That's getting away from the faith. I'm proud I'm an independent Baptist. There's something you should have pride about being an independent Baptist. We don't have another organization. We don't have another headquarters above us except for God and God alone. We don't have to go through the chairman of staff. We don't have to go through another organization to see how we're going to spend our money, if we're going to take on missionaries, if we're going to do a special project, if we're going to have a special meeting. If God puts it in our hearts, that's what we believe we should attempt to do. Everything begins with God. We're independent from the world. We're independent from the government. We're independent from any kind of society that's going to dictate how we should live our lives. But we're dependent upon God. We're dependent.
Our forefathers, they separated the church from the state. They said the state shouldn't have any control over the church. They should have the church over the state. But what it is, it's running side by side. The church is helping the state. And my friend, as law-abiding citizens, we obey the laws of the land. We stop at all the stop signs. Lord help us if we go a rolling stop. Hey, we ought to go to speed limit because we're Christians. Hey, we ought to stop at red lights because we're Christians. Shouldn't roll down your window and flick something out, a piece of trash, a piece of metal, a piece of paper towel, because you're a Christian. You say, well, we're over the law. But yet, my friend, God's made us Christians. And because of what we believe about God, we obey the laws of the land. Because everything we do begins with God. And we're having a life of faith that's demonstrating our life in God. It brings me to the last thing. Not only does salvation, soul winning, service, prayer, and faith begins with God, but our whole life begins with God. My friend, my life, I want to share this with you tonight. My life is not consumed by this church. I do a lot of things at the church. I love being here. I love working at the church. I love just spending time here. The other day we dug them holes to put the post in, and Brother David and Brother Robert had the auger digging the holes. And me and Brother Pete was scraping out the holes and trying to get them level. Boy, I had my whole body in the hole just trying to get things right. Trying to get the little blocks level. Just had dirt all in my ears and dirt all in my hair and turned upside down and dirt's in my nostril. You say, why'd you do that, preacher? Because I love God. Because I love God. And my life begins with God. I'm not doing what I do because of y'all. I'm not doing what I do because of this church. I do what I do because of God. And I wish to God all of us would live that way. God first. Just God first. God first, my friend. Our lives begin with God. Where do you get that from? Look here, if you will, in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Gave you a Bible reference for everything else. Let me give you one for this. Matthew chapter 11. Are these ladies not getting mad? They're just going to go prepare the food real quick. But look here, if you would, Matthew chapter 11. Our life. I really want you to grasp this tonight. I really want you to get a hold to this concept tonight that our life begins with God. In Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 28. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We know that's for salvation. We come to God, and he gives us rest from our labors and our laden. He gives us rest from work, and he gives us rest from our suffering, our toil, our torments of trying to live a better life. He gives us salvation to make us new creatures. But first, we come to him. Notice what it says here in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in your heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. Hey, that's the rest of service. We take his yoke upon us. It's not my life to live anymore. It's Christ that liveth in me. And my life should begin with God. I should wake up every day and say, God, this is your life. What would you have me to do with it? God, this is your day. What would you have me to do with it? Hey, God, this all belongs to you. This all belongs to you. God, what would you have me to do with it? I want us to know something. Our life, my friend, our Christian lives should always begin with God. It shouldn't be some man-centered approach. You know what we could do? We can have a real big day here at church, but we can give out T-shirts and license plates. We can feed everybody a hot dog. We can get some kind of Christian rock band in here to play some highfalutin, arouse your emotional sexual drive for the opposite sex. We can have all kind of entertainment in here. We can have a big day. We can have hundreds of people make a profession of faith. Hey, my friend, we can make them pray a prayer. But that's not God, is it? That's not God. A lot of churches are going that way, and I don't want to be one of them. I want everything we do here, I want it to come out of us spending time with God. I want our lives to begin with God. I got a lot of visions. I got a lot of goals. I believe every Christian ought to have a goal in life. I believe every one of us ought to have something that we want to accomplish for God. My friend, if we get too far out of the way, that gold will be our God instead of God. Well, Lord, if I could just fill up the church van, and we work hard and labor and visit, and finally you fill up the church van, and you say, all right, God, I accomplished my goal. I've done what I want to do, and now it's all over. Well, it's not all over. God's your life. You just keep going. This morning, you know how many promises I had last week? I was going to ride the church van this morning, 17. 15 passenger church van, had 17 to come. Hey, half of them didn't show up. But that's all right. Because filling up the church van is not my goal. God's my goal. As long as I'm serving God, I can be happy with what God gives me. It's not my goal to be a millionaire. Lord, God, if it was, I wouldn't live in Marion County. My goal is to give my life to God and allow my life to count for something for time and for eternity. We only got one shot at this, folks. Our life's going to be gone one day. If you're saved, you'll be in heaven, beholding the face of Jesus. The only thing that matters then is Jesus, what you've done for him. Lee Robertson said, this one life I live is soon to be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. I believe that's very true. But we realize our life begins with God. Prayer begins with God. Service begins with God. Soul winning begins with God. Salvation, everything we do in this Christendom, this Christ-centered religion begins with God. Everything. The way a person sings should begin with God. Does God like it? Has God approved of it? The way we dress should begin with God. We was out, me and Brother George out visiting yesterday, and we went to a woman's house, and she was out there in a pair of short shorts and a tank top. And she said, Lord, preacher, why in the world are you wearing a long sleeve shirt and a necktie as hot as it is? I said, this is the way God wants me to dress today. How about you? She got a little bit embarrassed. She got a little bit ashamed. I do what I do because of God. I do what I do. I live my life because of God. I hope you do the same thing. If we put God first, everything else will fall in its proper place. We tell our children, put God first. We don't. If they put God first, we don't have to worry about what college they go to. We don't have to worry about who they're going to marry. We don't have to worry about where they're going to live. If they put God first, everything else will fall in its proper place. Everything, everything begins with God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for being so good, so faithful to us. Lord, thank you that we can have this great truth tonight, that everything in our life should begin with God. The way we act, the way we behave, the way we listen to preaching, whether it's my preaching or someone else. Well, God, we're listening as though it's God speaking, and he's speaking directly to us. Help us, Lord God, to have this truth in our hearts and minds that our lives begin with God. That the way we teach, the way we preach, the way we present ourselves, it all should begin with God. Lord, we're not just some fly-by-night new thing, but God, we want to be settled and grounded and established in the Word of God and live according to the Bible. Help us tonight, Father, to put God first. Lord, not to put you on some list and say you're first and that's second and this is third, but God, to say you're the first and only. You have the proper place. You have the preeminence. You're the only God that's in my life. Lord, help us tonight to have everything in our lives begin with God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Let's stand to our feet, if you will. The invitation begins. The altar's open tonight. Maybe help us pray tonight that we continue to keep God first. I remember when John Moxley was here, John Moxley, the tabernacle man, we went out visiting. He would always say, put God in front. Put God in front. We need to put God in front. We need to have our lives to begin with God. We need to have our service to begin with God. Don't do it. Don't do it just because you want to show up and make a name for yourself. Don't do it just because you don't want somebody else to talk about you, but serve God because of God. Today you might be lost, need to be saved. Jesus Christ will save you today if you'll come to him. I tell you, it's not this church that will save you. It's not this old preacher right here that will save you. It's you turning to God from sin. That's what will save you. Asking God for forgiveness. Let me ask you this. Everybody's head bowed, your eyes still closed. Would there be one tonight that would say, "Preacher Scott, I'm lost. I know I'm not saved. And I want you to pray for me. Preacher, I'm going to lift my hand because I need your prayers. I'm lost. I'm not saved." Is there one real quick that would just lift your hand? I see that hand. God bless you. There another. I see that hand. God bless you. There another. Preacher, you pray for me. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. If you raised your hand, won't you realize it's God that saves you? It's only God who can save you. If you'll turn from this world and turn to God from your sins. Don't try to straighten up first. Don't try to live a good life first. You let Jesus Christ save you first. And then he'll make the Christian out of you that he wants you to become. If you know you need to be saved, won't you come to the altar tonight? Won't you let one of these men or one of these ladies take the Bible and show you how to be saved? If you know you need to trust in Christ, your Savior, and God's dealt with your heart tonight, won't you come and receive Christ? Receive Jesus. On Easter Sunday, won't you get saved? Have a resurrection day in your life. Get saved. Trust in Christ. And for you that are saved, let's keep God first. In the beginning, God. Before this world was ever formed, before me and you was ever thought of on this world, God was in the beginning. God was already there. Let's keep him there. Let's keep God in the beginning. Father God, we love you. We thank you for being so good to us. Bless the message to our hearts.